TerrySavage.com is how you reach Terry Savage, the syndicated financial columnist. We reach her Wednesdays for the full hour today. Hi, Terry.
Hi. I want to start trouble.
All right.
Can I do that? I actually ran it by Pete. I don't know if Pete told you, but so as I was coming here this morning, I stopped and I had a manicure, which I do on a regular basis, and there was a little sign at the desk that said there will be a 3% surcharge for using your credit card. And I said to the owner, isn't that annoying to people?
And?
Why don't you just raise the price of a manicure by $2 or $3?
Yeah.
Because you're going to see this every time you come to the counter to pay. So he said, well, but people would be more upset if a manicure cost $3 or $4 more, and it would be an odd amount. I wouldn't raise it $5. That would be a big percentage jump. And I said, I'm going to find out. I'm going to be on radio in a little while. Do you really want it? I mean, now, here's what we know the facts.
You want them to hide the charge.
I want them. I thought they should bury it.
Is the subtext here, though, what they really want you to do is pay cash?
No, well, let's give a little background. When you're a merchant, whatever it is, a restaurant or a service provider, even law firms these days, takes a payment by credit card, they are charged by the card company for the processing, which is a roughly 3%. And about a decade ago, it became no longer illegal to add that charge to the bill if you clearly explain it. You can't do it for a debit card, but if someone, your client or your customer, uses a credit card to charge, and yes, I'm going to come to income taxes in a minute, but if your customer has the, well, I'm just going to
go ahead, fix that. All right.
Okay, I'm fixing that. Sorry, someone's desperately trying to get a hold of me. So at any rate, if your customer, if you state it clearly, you can add it on, that 3%. And I just asked a friend of mine who called me and lives in Florida and said, oh, yeah, every restaurant adds 3% if you use a credit card. So the question is now, do you carry cash, something I practically never, ever do?
Yeah.
Do you carry a checkbook, something I never, ever do? Do you... how does everybody feel? Do you think the merchants should just raise the prices and hide the surcharge? Now, I want you to know that's totally different, by the way, because someone will bring up, well, what about paying my taxes using a credit card? Both the IRS and the state of Illinois will accept credit cards, but they don't accept them directly. They accept them through certain vendors that will do that for you. And there are fees. I looked up the IRS. There's a minimum $2.50 fee. But I'm looking at the IRS website now. They have a couple of vendors like Pay USA Tax and Pay 1040.
But, can we just go back to the retail point for a moment?
That okay.
It is a reasonable thing for the provider to charge, right? I mean, somebody's got to pay
that. It's a cost.
It's a cost to them.
It's like the cost of the nail polish and the cost of the electric bill.
So it's reasonable for them to pass that along to the consumer, right?
Right. Well,
I mean, you don't deny them. That's particularly if it's not that, I don't know what a manicure costs, but if it's a really small purchase, well, I guess then 3% of a small amount is a small amount.
Small amount, yeah.
But it would just seem to me like they're getting nixed.
What everybody, how annoying. Look, we know that the price of everything, let's just stick with the manicure. It's not a lot of money, but it's and you always tip the person who's doing the manicure separately. But we know that their cost to running a salon. I mean, they got to turn on the electric and pay the rent, and they have to pay the artists that do the work in the salon. So they have a lot of costs, and I'm sure their costs are going up. That's not a question. So should you raise the price of a manicure more and then everybody will pay maybe $3 more for a manicure? Or would you all change your behavior and say, okay, I could carry that much cash.
Right. Right. Because you're asking.
Or I would use my I could use my debit card. I could.
If they raise
I just like getting the points and the miles.
But if they raise the cost for everybody, then the cash payers would subsidize the credit card purchase.
And there's no question about the fact that I don't get red nail polish subsidized as someone who has nail art on their nails, and I just have something very simple.
No, but you see my point that if I'm paying cash,
I do.
You don't.
That's what I'm wondering what everybody thinks. This is very interesting. The question is, I, the consumer, why do I always put it on my credit card and pay it off in full every month? Because I'm getting points and I love those points. So sure, I get something out of paying by the credit card. The merchant is charged. This is not a fairness question, nor is it a legality question. It just was on my mind as I drove. And yeah. I said, let's just ask people, would they use the credit card now in the future for A, the convenience of tracking your expenditures, B, the points or the miles that you're getting, whatever you're using for your card. Mm-hmm. Is it worth it to you? And C, you don't have to carry cash, which is something you don't want to do. And I do remember standing in line 100 years ago at the grocery store and writing checks. I mean, I do remember that.
Sure, sure.
So you're not going to probably do that anymore. I think that's pretty.
Well, I pay for my groceries with a credit card. Am I being charged a 3% nick on my groceries? I don't think so.
Well, so that depends on the grocer, okay? It depends on the store. They may have a surcharge that they have to clearly display.
Boy,
that
it's
to offset credit card fees.
Hold on. Let's pause here.
So it could be a question.
By the way, Terry, you know, you were talking about the 3% nick, and in a editorial by the Tribune not that long ago, they said, here's a message to Chicago restaurants. Consumers' goodwill will not last forever. They were talking about the 20% surcharge just to take care of the staff, to say nothing of tipping. And at the end, they said that cursed notion is behind paying for bread that used to be free and the 3% surcharge several restaurant chains in Chicago are now adding to the checks without giving that money to their tipped staff. So it's in the restaurant business too.
Oh, it's all over. And it's a state by state law that governs. For instance, you cannot have a surcharge in Connecticut or Massachusetts. And but in California, you can't have a surcharge, but you could offer a discount for payment by cash or check that's not a credit card. In Colorado, you can't add a surcharge to any sales or lease transactions. I mean, it's all over the place. But and the merchant can set a minimum purchase amount to use a credit card and
forth. That makes sense.
We've seen all that. What does everybody say? I don't know why it suddenly annoyed me.
Let's take a couple of calls.
Let's hear what they say.
Eric, you're on WGN with Terry Savage. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon, guys. How are you?
Good.
Good. So I'm a business owner. I own a contracting business. And for about 20 years, we've taken payments with credit cards. And for the first time last year, I implemented a 2% surcharge to credit card payment services. Now, that doesn't cover the entire cost. On the average, you know, it's based on the actual card, but we get dinged about 3.5% overall. I was just looking to try to absorb some pretty big numbers in credit card usage. And I was really surprised at the number of folks that truly balked at that additional charge. So we've gone alternative to taking Zelle payments, things like that. But, you know, right now Zelle is free, but at some point, you know, they're going to start charging
as
for that
a contractor,
as well.
So say your job is $50,000, 3% is $1,500. If I pay with a credit card, you now get $48,500 net for the job, right?
Correct.
Or gross payment for me minus your costs. So that's just right off your bottom line every time I use a credit card, right?
Yep. Last year, I think in total, we probably paid over $50,000 in bank service fees, including the percentages, processing, things like that. So it's a big number.
And the reason people do this, by the way, nobody would, I don't know how you finance deals with people who want to pay over time, for example, but nobody would use, in their right mind, unless they have a zero interest rate credit card, would charge something in order to pay over time because the interest charges are so high. In their right mind, on a big number like that. So what you're really...
I wish I could charge what the bank charges, but I don't.
Exactly. So what you're really doing is subsidizing their winter vacation because they're going to get thousands of miles or points or whatever it is, and you're subsidizing your customers.
Well, does the bank really bear a $1,500 cost when he does a $50,000 job?
It's not the bank. No, it's the interchange
network.
It's the interchange network of Visa or MasterCard for the most part.
Well, I think my question's the same. I mean, you would think that at some point they could cap the charge since it's ones and O's.
Wait. It's not ones and O's. Think of, I'm not arguing on the part of the processors, and I have to go way in the way back to remember when I last thought about it. But they also guarantee you against fraudulent use of your card. And that's a cost of doing business these days, the card networks.
Yeah, okay.
You know, so I didn't charge that $3,000 on Amazon or at Radio Shack or whatever it was. So you get something for using your credit card, but the merchant only gets the fact that it's a convenient for his customers, but now it's an expensive convenience. So it's just, I don't know if there's a right answer.
Well, I do like to take your point, though, that it's a trade. I get 50,000 points. And for that convenience, maybe I should pay this guy. I should pay you, Eric, at least 1% or 2% of that cost.
Right. Well, obviously, from a business standpoint, I also get the convenience of, a 24-hour turnaround to get funding.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you didn't like, did you used to, if in the olden, I don't know how long you've been around, but in the olden days, there used to be terms like 30% due at the end of the month or due at the end of 30 days or due at the end of 60 days. Do you know anybody who sends out a bill and says due within 60 days anymore? I mean, everybody expects instant payment.
Right. Yeah, no, I don't know anybody that does that either. But again, it's, one of the things you had also discussed is, are you paying a fee when you go to the grocery store? I think, there's some negotiation as well with some of these credit card processing companies that, you're only paying, let's say, a point or two based on volume as well for some of these larger businesses.
I would hope so for their sake. That's an interesting call, Eric. Good luck to you and your business. I hope things go well.
Thank you. Nice speaking to you.
Well, it's an interesting call. Terry Savage got a manicure. There was a sign that said a 3% charge for use of credit card. She was wondering how you felt about that, and you've blown up our show.
I knew I was going to cut through. Look, the market's doing nothing, basically. The Fed, it's reasonably evenly divided whether they'll pause next week or whether they will raise rates again. Most people now have switched to thinking, well, they'll pause in June and do it again in July. So the market's literally doing nothing. The volatility is down near all-time lows. So why not discuss something that just is pennies, but maybe annoying, maybe a sign of the times, I don't know.
And maybe just more than pennies, and it's something that touches people every day.
Yeah.
847 said, as a business owner, I offer my clients three ways to pay, check, Zelle, or credit card. And yes, I do let my clients know there is a 3% extra charge. Many of them still like to use the credit card for points. Our bank, Chase, is now also charging us a percentage for direct payroll, so we're really getting hit by extra charges from the bank lately. This one says, my friend owns a small but successful deli in Lake County, and they pay $50,000 a year for their customers' use of credit cards.
Wow. Well, if that's only 3% of their customers' business, it's a very successful deli.
It's also $50,000. A lot of you are just very upset with it, though, and some of you are saying you will not patronize businesses that charge an extra 3% for the credit card use. Does the business get a tax deduction for that's
it's
a business expense?
It's a business expense. Yeah. It's not it's a cost of doing business. Sure. So it comes out of, and it does come out of their profits. So that's what I don't know if there's any scientific way to figure it out, whether you would rather pay whatever it is, if it's, let's make it a round number, maybe it's $25 for a manicure. Would you rather pay $27.50 or $27 for a manicure, or would you rather use your credit card and have the charge added on? I mean, which annoys you most? Like, if people are willing to walk away from a business with that sign, I mean, I love my manicure, so I will never leave her no matter what.
But I think fair is fair. I think that if whatever the scheme is you come up with, there should be a discount for cash then.
Okay, but do you know how much? Now, this is what's so interesting, and then we got to get off this. Businesses really don't want cash. They don't want to carry cash to the bank. It's and banks charge for when you when a business comes to the bank with an with one of those cloth bags full of cash, they charge a fee for counting coins and accepting cash. So cash is really history. I mean, you don't want to carry cash in your pocket for all kinds of obvious reasons. But more importantly, banks will penalize you for depositing cash. Some business owner is listening and going, yeah, you're right. Good point, Terry. So we don't really want cash. We just don't want to have that cost.
There's a survey out. 49% of American men say they still need a wallet. 51% say they don't need a wallet anymore. They'll just do everything electronically. The point being, except for a money clip, they're not going to carry cash at all anymore. Okay, let's take some phone calls about this and other topics. I think Jimmy asked a question about Treasury bills. Jimmy, you're on WGN Radio. How can we help you?
Good afternoon, Gina Terry. Real simple question. Tomorrow, I'm going to call my broker and buy a T-bill. Should I buy a 13-week T-bill?
No, Jimmy. You are not calling your broker to buy a Treasury bill. You're a big boy. You are going to do this on your own with money you have in a bank account, a money market account, or a checking account. You're going to go to terrysavage.com, look on the right side, the big section called Financial Links, and scroll down a teeny bit, and it says how to buy Treasury bills. Your broker typically doesn't want to do that for you unless you consider that part of your assets under management, and they're getting a fee for watching that stuff for you, which is ridiculous. You can do this on your own. So you need to have the broker, if it's all your money sitting in cash in your brokerage account, number one, ask them, are you paying over 5% on the idle cash I have sitting there? And the broker's going to say, no, we're paying about 2.9%, 3.2%. If you want T-bills, you say, wire that to my account at Chase, my money market account, and then you put in an order on treasurydirect.gov. They can wire your money back to your account overnight, and the money will be taken out at Monday's auction. But you do this.
13 or 26 weeks.
13 or 26 weeks. Actually, I'd go with the 26 weeks. They're just right now, they're yielding about 5.4. 13 weeks or 5.3. It depends on if you're going to need the money sooner. I do think that rates, I mean, I'm hopeful they'll trend downward in 3 months, but I probably lock up 6 months at 5.4%. Roughly 5.4% will be the auction on Monday.
How does that sound, Jimmy?
It sounds great for all our suggestions. Sounds very good.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the phone call. Good luck to you. This one says, my bank is offering a 7-month 5% CD. Do I get the full 5% at the end of 7 months? If so, that would be better than 6 months at 5.5% in a T-bill.
None. No, that's the annual rate. You'll get it for the number of days you have the money in your account. But I wouldn't bother going for T-bills at around 5.4% if your bank will give you a 7-month CD at 5%. I mean, unless you've got $1 million we're working with here and you don't want to leave that in the bank. It's over the insured limit. I mean, we have to be realistic. If we're talking about you have $17,000 and you want to put $15 in and leave $2,000 in your checking account for emergencies, sort of a cushion, and it's only the difference of 5 and 5.4%. It's not that much money we're talking about. So sure, do the 7-month CD, but you're not going to get 7% on that money for a whole year. You're only getting it for the 7 months.
Well, I think a couple of our listeners have questions about these annual products that they don't have for a year. I've got another example of that in just a second. 312-981-7200. That's Terry Savage. All the way until 1 o'clock, let's get you a little more business news here. Here's Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. A $20 million redevelopment and headquarters move for Vienna Beef in Chicago will include more than just office space. There'll be retail space and a big box store included in the project at 2501 North Damon. The big box store will be named soon. Vienna is moving its employees from Fulton Market in Bridgeport to the new headquarters by the end of this year. There will also be a Vienna restaurant and factory store featuring a full range of Vienna meat products. The restaurant will include memorabilia of the company's 130-year history in Chicago. The Bucktown site is a former Vienna factory. Amtrak is seeking federal funds to upgrade its Chicago to New York Cardinal service. It's asking for $500,000 to expand the service from the current 3 times a week to daily. The Cardinal runs through Indianapolis, Cincinnati, and Philadelphia. Part of the funding will pay for track work in Indiana that'll help speed up the line. Amtrak hasn't said when the expanded service would begin if the funding gets the green light. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Now, a business of food, and Steve Alexander.
Yes, and we are sponsored by the Chevy Silverado HD. Experience life in HD. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. Today, it is with a heavy heart that I share the passing of a legend in Chicago sports marketing. Nova Langtry passed away recently. I'd like to share her story via a feature I did with her last summer. Today, we honor a woman rightfully known in Chicago and nationwide as the Queen of Sports Marketing. Nova Langtry is her name, and she retired after a stellar career that began when, Nova?
1986.
And there is a business of food connection, which I'll get to later. Nova grew up on the Northwest Side and started her career as a talent agent before sports marketing was even a thing.
Michael Jordan did that for the industry.
And Jordan is one of a very long list of Nova's clients.
Mike Ditka, Gail Sayers, Walter Payton, Dan Hampton, David Beckham, Dr. J.
Well, we don't have time to hear all of them. There are hundreds for whom she did millions and millions of dollars in deals.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Mario Andretti.
The ad agencies and corporate brands who worked with and negotiated with Nova came to know that they couldn't get anything over on this woman, the only one in that business for a long time. But they knew she was fair and, most of all, trustworthy.
Jackie Joyner-Kersee, Johnny Bench.
For most of the athletes and celebrities she worked with, she was in the shadows, on the telephone, rarely meeting them in person. But there were a few who became close friends over many years. Bart Starr.
I represented Bart exclusively for almost 35 years before he got sick.
And 14 years ago, when an aortic aneurysm nearly ended her life and left her paralyzed, there at her hospital bedside was the Green Bay legend, as was Gail Sayers.
And I said, Gail, what are you doing here? He said, Nova, you've taken care of me for 25 years. Now it's my turn.
Congratulations on an incredible career, Nova. Oh, and the connection to the business of food? Nova is one of the make-ahead mashed potato ladies whose recipes blew up our website last Thanksgiving. Rest in peace, Nova. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the business of food on 720 WGN.
This listener says, I was charged 4% on a dinner bill. So I wrote the server a note and deducted 4% from her tip, explaining that she did not tell us when putting the card on the table. When the charge posted to my credit card account, it was more than the receipt I had signed. I disputed with Citibank. It was refunded. Why do we have to go through this? Terry Savage is on the line.
I did open a kettle of worms, so to speak.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, well, and it wasn't the server's fault, although most states have laws, and including Illinois, saying that any surcharges must be clearly communicated. So, but servers don't make that much money. That was my very first job as a waitress. I collected quarters or 50 cents in tips. It was a long, long time ago. So I'm always very sympathetic to being articulate and choosing my stuff and not causing a
listen
server
to this email about that. Speaking of cash, one last one. My son works in IT for a large grocery chain. He says they prefer credit card payments because it's less expensive for them to pay the 3% fee than to pay people to count all that cash, and there's no loss due to human error.
Exactly.
Or sticky fingers.
Cash. Yes. You don't go to Europe these days with $100 bills or anything like that. Remember traveler's checks?
Yeah,
you get that
sure.
too. You use a debit card and you get a card that charges no exchange fees and it has a good exchange rate. I mean, the world has changed. Cash is not a thing anymore. And nobody knows what to do with cash. But the fact is, processing is a cost, and businesses who are getting squeezed, like Eric, who first called, $50,000 a year in credit card processing fees.
Yeah. Terry, if I buy a 3-month, $10,000 T-bill at 5.5%, I would get a $550 return at the end of 3 months?
No. First of all, it's not 5%. Let's call it 5%. You would get the $500. If you could renew it for 3 months at 5% four times, but you can't, you're only going to get a quarter of that interest. And it does not come at the end. It means that they take less than $10,000 out. You'll notice that. you've got maybe $11,000 in your money market account. You want to buy $10,000 worth of treasury bills. The day they take the money out, they don't take out $10,000. They take out $10,800 and da-da-da-da. Whatever is left represents the 3 months' worth of interest at that rate that you were given. And then at maturity, if you haven't said, I'm going to roll it over, the full flat $10,000 will drop back into your money market account or checking account.
Let's talk to Mary Ann. You're on WGN with Terry Savage. Mary Ann, what can we do for you?
Hi, I have to agree to disagree. If a store does not take cash, I will not shop there.
Why do you say that?
Because I don't like using credit cards.
Why do you say that?
I like to go in, pay for it, I'm done. The transaction's over. I don't have to wait and pay it later and all that other nonsense.
Well, I do understand that, Terry, and I think that's kind of why a lot of people sometimes like a debit card, because now I know what my balance is.
Exactly. Until I started collecting points in a major league way, I always used my debit card, because you can go online to your bank account and say, oh, yeah, that was taken out for that. That was the grocery. That was the gas. And your debit card is protected just as your credit card is. So I, for a long time, only used a debit card until I started deciding to collect points. I'll tell you something interesting. Last week when I was in the studio, I had a $20 bill. And the guy in the garage was so nice to me. I came in late and he said, here, I'll park your car for you. I said, great, I'll see you in an hour. And I needed some change. So I went down to where they have that great lobby restaurant with all those expensive coffees.
Yes.
Bought something just so I could get cash to give him a tip. I was going to give him $20.
I've done that before.
And I went to pay, and they said, no, we only take credit cards.
For the tip? Even for a tip?
Well, no, but I mean, I wanted to break a $20 bill.
Sure.
And so I'd have some small change. And they said, sorry, we can't give you change for cash.
Oh,
we don't take cash.
Coffee place. So now you have an expensive coffee and still have $20.
Exactly. I dug around in my purse and I found some. I would have given him a few more singles. But
one last question here. I want to talk to Sarah. You're on WGN. Sarah, how can we help you? You're on the air with Terry Savage.
Oh, hi. I was just wondering, my daughter has like $1,000 she was going to put into a Roth. She's 25. And then she was going to add $100 a month to that.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a good idea still?
Yeah, is she working?
Yes.
She has earned income. Absolutely. Go to Fidelity or Vanguard. And I think most of them will still let you open an account with only $100. Some have higher minimums.
And she's got $1,000. But should she do a Roth right now?
With the $1,000 minimum.
Yeah,
some of those fund companies have now raised it to $2,000 or $2,500, except if you set up an automatic debit from her checking account and agrees to have $100 put in a month, that will lower the minimum to
$1,000. You like that idea, though. But do you like a Roth now for a young person?
Yes, she doesn't need the tax deduction now. And all that money will grow tax-free for retirement. So absolutely. Time is money. If you have a young daughter, just remember, money's valuable at this point, but time leverages money. And if you can start now and make that a regular automatic habit, just use the Standard & Poor 500 Stock Index Fund. By the whole market, I guarantee you she'll look back and be very glad she did.
Okay, great. And then in an S&P index fund, you said?
Standard & Poor 500 stock index fund. That's all she needs to do. She doesn't have to pick stock, doesn't have to decide whether Apple's better than Microsoft. Just buy that whole Standard & Poor 500 stock index. And one time that she'll hear the market's crashing, it's going down. She should not stop. The $100 she puts in that month will buy more shares of that fund.
Remember, last week, Terry said you don't need to beat the market. You need to be the market. And the S&P's having a nice run. So that's good advice from, sounds like, Terry Savage. Sarah, I hope that helps. Terry, we're out of time.
Thanks. Next week, please.
TerrySavage.com.